This is the PNB Governance Committee for October 25th, 2023. Beth Van Gunsen Ferry. We'll now call roll. Christina Avalos. I don't hear Christina. Rachel Barr.
Present.
Rachel. Marcel Cruz. I don't hear Marcel. Violetta Diamond. I don't hear Violetta yet. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I'm here.
Thank you, Vanessa. William Foster.
Present.
Thank you, William. Christina B. Huggins. I don't hear Christina. Robert Lokenberg.
Present.
Thank you, Robert. Someone has an open line. I'm going to ask everyone who doesn't have the floor, please, to mute until or unless you're called on, so that the rest of us can hear each other and don't have to shout to be heard. So thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Thank you, Marianne. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you, James. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. We had a request for an excused absence today from Jane Scheidler. We'll take that up when we finish with roll call. Aki Tanaka. I don't hear Aki. Beth Van Gunsen Chair, that's me. I'm present. Michael White.
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. Carol Wolfley. Don't hear Carol. Are there any guests present today? I don't hear our usual guest. I'll call one more time for those we missed the first time. Christina Avalos, are you present? I don't hear Christina. Marisol Cruz, are you present? Don't hear Marisol. Violetta Diamond. Are you present? Don't hear Violetta. Christina Huggins, are you present? Don't hear Christina Huggins. Aki Tanaka, are you present? You don't hear Aki. And Carol Wolfley. I don't hear Carol, but it looks like we have present 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So we just make quorum, and we are therefore formally convened at 5:40. So before we go further, could I request a timekeeper or speakers keep us on track through the meeting? Anybody willing to volunteer for that? I guess we'll just wing it for now. If it looks like traffic gets heavy at some point later, we'll ask again. Next item on the agenda is to adopt the agenda. I'll read through it briefly. One was to call to order, roll call, request a timekeeper, adopt agenda, bylaws subcommittee report, announce the next governance committee meeting, and adjourn by 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Are there any other items for the agenda? Or discussion of the agenda as proposed? Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as proposed? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted as read. That brings us to the bylaws subcommittee report. I'll report briefly, and if people want to discuss what happened, then we can follow with that. So the bylaws subcommittee did meet on October 20, 2023, with all five members present. We began by reviewing the scope of the work, which is the bylaw, or rather the mandate of that committee, is to review existing current Pacifica bylaws or their compliance with current California law, which is can be a daunting proposition. We considered what processes and resources are available to us to use, and each committee member took on a specific assignment to work on between now and the next time we meet. Because the calendar this time of year is pretty jammed, we didn't specify another meeting date yet. We will continue to confer by email regarding our process and progress and remaining questions, and we'll schedule a next meeting as necessary and possible. Is there any discussion of that item from those who were present or those who would like to know more about what happened at that meeting?
I would like to know what happened at that meeting.
What more would you like to know other than what I've just reported here?
Well, was that the only thing that happened?
That is the specific purpose of that committee. That subcommittee was stood up this year for the purpose of reviewing the bylaws, the current bylaws, specifically for compliance with current California law, because as to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my ability to have found out, our current bylaws have not been reviewed for compliance since they were passed back in 2002, 2003, whereas California law is the corporation's code that covers California nonprofits such as Pacifica, is updated once every 3 years, meaning that Pacifica is now something like 7 cycles out of date. And therefore, before we get into any of the more substantive issues of debate within the bylaws, the first thing to do is to review for where we are and where we may not be in compliance with current California law, and propose remedies for those places where we may not be current to bring us back into compliance with current law. Does that answer your question, or do you have further questions?
I just need a clarification. So at this point, none of the bylaws, has anyone checked out whether the bylaws are in accordance with California law at this time? I'm just not clear about whether the work has been done and we know what needs to change according to California law.
That is indeed the exact purpose of this committee, this subcommittee. This was the first meeting of that subcommittee. We divvied up the work. Our bylaws are 50 some pages long, depending on what format you use. which is longer than usual and more complex than usual. And they will need to be checked article by article, our current bylaws against existing law and any changes that have been made in the interim since our laws were passed. And that takes meticulous work. And so that's the purpose of this committee. We're just beginning that work now. And we will be reporting back at every meeting between now and when we complete the work.
Michael White, to be recognized, but Vanessa is seeking to be recognized with a hand up.
Thank you. Which of you is first?
I think Vanessa is up first.
Okay, we'll take Vanessa, and I have Michael on the stack then. And is there anyone else who wants the stack?
Yes, I would like to be on the stack. Yes.
And who is that?
That's Rachel Barr.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you down after Michael. So we'll start with Vanessa and then Michael.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Michael, very much. I appreciate that. So, no, I just wanted to add the subcommittee. I'm on the subcommittee, and it consists of Sagerton, Minerva, Beth, of course, another person whose name I'm not remembering, and myself. The other person whose name I don't remember is an attorney, so is Sagerton. So they are particularly helpful in terms of, you know, trying to figure out resources. The meeting was very, very preliminary, just basically trying to figure out where to get the resources that we feel that we will need in order to move forward. So absolutely no decisions. We can't make any decisions anyway. All we can do is gather information and maybe, you know, formulate some recommendations and bring them back as appropriate. So it was just really preliminary. And as Beth said, you know, the work will continue and we'll report. Thank you.
So, yes, just to confirm that the members of that committee are Vanessa herself, Minerva Sanders, James Sagerton, Michael D.D. White, and myself, Beth Von Glinton. So next up is Michael.
And as said, I'm a member of the committee, and I am a lawyer. More an answer to what I think Rachel was asking. This is in the nature of a due diligence exercise. So it's, you know, proper and should have, it's the kind of thing you want to do and, you know, should have been done ideally regularly. We don't have a record of it having been done over the years, but it's not because anything has presented itself that has made us aware that we're out of compliance. We don't think that we're out of compliance. But you can be out of compliance. Maybe it's not likely to be out of compliance in some of the bigger ways, but in some of the smaller ways, without being aware of it until a specific situation comes up. And unless you do the rather boring, you know, due diligence kind of work where you are double checking that things match. You won't know, you might never know, but you are not certainly not going to know until there's a problem or a way in which things present itself. So, you know, one of the things that maybe people hadn't thought about just in exercises when we have the structure that is, 25%. Workers co-op, and that is something that requires some thinking about what you do when you're reviewing management. So those kinds of things may not get thought about you know, unless people think to think about it, and, you know, being methodical. When the bylaws were done, they should have been they should then have been in compliance with the California laws, because that was you know, the job of the people who drafted the bylaws. But unless you're watching the California laws all the time, from the standpoint of the bylaws, you may not notice that you're, you know, something is not keeping up. And when we have and that's actually one of the things that we talked about in the meeting, was the fact that our bylaws are long, they're unusually long, and it's not conventional. It's probably not even the best way to do it, because there are the bylaws are difficult to change, and therefore the things that should be difficult to change should be in the bylaws. The things that should be easy to change in terms of policies and boilerplate stuff that is normally the purview of the board should really be outside of the bylaws. But but that's the length of the bylaws and the intricacy of the bylaws is going to make them it's going to be a very daunting and somewhat boring well, except, you know, it'll be a delightful exercise for the nerds of us, but I don't know if that answers Rachel's question, but
thank you, Michael. So Rachel, you're next.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So I have two quick questions. The first quick question I have is, the committee is working on this laborious task have a deadline of which it has to be completed by? And the second question I have is, I've noticed in the bylaws that it says certain things about certain of the bylaws. For example, one example is that, for example, in the WBAI LSB, when we have meetings, we give the listeners a half an hour to make public comment. And depending on how many listeners want to ask something or make a comment, they are given 2 minutes. And then if there's time before that item on the agenda is over on the clock, we give people a second chance. But I have heard that some LSBs, when they do their public comment, they take the time to answer questions that are made during public comment, or if someone makes a comment during that time, they take a little bit of time to respond to a comment and answer a question. And I am very curious as to, if this is in the bylaws, I'm very curious as to know why some LSBs decided to respond to listeners' comment and answer questions, and some do not. They just listen, and no one is allowed to respond. So that's something that has been on my mind since I've been on the LSB and before I've been on the LSB, because I just don't think, I don't know why it's not a blanket policy for all the LSBs to respond to the listeners' questions. This is a foundation where, when the bylaws first began, and I've been involved in BAI for 45 years, I was a producer for 10 years and a paid employee. So I'm curious as to why that all LSBs do not answer to listeners' questions or comments, because the way, unfortunately, the bylaws, the only way you can vote when the elections come up, which they just ended, is to pay what is actually a poll tax. So you have to be a member to vote. And some people agree with that, some don't. But I'm just curious as to why in the so-called Democratic Radio Foundation that we have, we're not allowed to, at BAI, answer to people's queries. And it also concerns me, this has to do with the specifically in the bylaws about program councils or program committees, whichever word, whichever term, you know, you use. Because something that's in the bylaws, I mean, it's you know, it's like the constitution, if you will, of Pacifica. And I don't understand, and no one can ever explain this to me with rhyme or reason, why WBAI, I raised a motion when I first got on the LSB about having a program council or program committee, whichever word, and it was voted down, but yet it's in the bylaws. So for the life of me, I don't understand why something that's in the bylaws has to be raised as a motion in an LSB meeting. So I also want to know I said this already, it's been a long day for me and I'm losing my voice. Does this have to be done by a deadline of any kind? I'm done, thank you.
In response to that, this is a daunting job. We will be lucky if we get through it yet this year. And I think back to what I was trained in emergency response, that you start where you stand and you do what you can. So we start at the beginning of the bylaws and each of us take on as much as we can and we just work our way through. Again, because it hasn't been done for so long, we won't know until we get into it how much or how little needs to be done. So this committee is constituted through this year, this term of the PNB, and when the next PNB is seated, likely sometime in January, then come February, they elect the next members of the governance committee, and it will be up to them whether, maybe we'll luck out and get done before that. I would like to think that. I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm not counting on it because we won't know until we get into it just how involved it is. But if we haven't finished, I, for one, will be encouraging next year's committee to take it up again at whatever point we get to. The California law generally is reviewed once every 3 years in the years that are multiples of three. So next year, California legislature should look at California corporate law to update again. And so there may well be other changes. I'm hoping that this committee in this form or next year's can get through our current bylaws by that time. But if they haven't, they should continue. And then this should become a regular exercise of the governance committee going forward so that we never find ourselves with this much of a backlog to catch up with. So no, there's not a deadline. And honestly, this should be.
Beth, we lost your sound, Beth. Are you still with us?
It appears that she's hung up.
Yeah, I don't see her. She might go, the call might have dropped.
All right, let's give her a moment to come back, I think.
Excuse me, I just want to be acknowledged that I'm here. This is Christina Avalos. I'm sorry, I'm late.
We can make a note for Beth, and you know, hopefully she'll come back. Or you may also send her an email to let her know.
Yes. Okay.
In case something's happened.
Yeah. Thank you.
While we're waiting,
is it okay? I'm not sure who I'm asking, I guess the group. I'd like to address one of the questions that Rachel asked. Would it be okay for me to maybe use the space and time to do that?
Okay, and Vanessa, so since you've had your hand up, this is Minerva. I've got my hand up and Michael as well. So if the group is okay until Beth comes back, a question I'd like to ask the group. And we're being recorded, correct?
I believe we're on the stream.
We're being recorded, so
okay.
Why don't you go ahead and then Vanessa can go ahead and Beth, we'll catch Beth up when she gets back in a minute.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Minerva, I think,
if she doesn't come, then I see myself and then I saw Michael. So go ahead,
Minerva.
You want me to talk? I can. The one thing I wanted to ask this committee, because Rachel raised a few questions, and the governance committee, and we can get a better understanding, and you guys have done this longer than myself. This committee is not just to review the bylaws against what the California bylaws are saying. And I'm not seeing this committee as that. I'm seeing this committee from my standpoint as if the bylaws for Pacifica say certain things should be taking place within an LSB, then just like Rachel raised, 30 minutes for community comment. It was raised in the WPFW LSB. It said a minimum of 30 minutes. So that's not saying that it couldn't go longer. And that's what was brought to my attention. So, and I guess I'm asking if we can get clarification or get understanding from the group. Is that what others understand? If we see things in the bylaws that we have question about, or we feel it's not being addressed in our LSB or working with the PD or whomever, are we not to bring it to this committee so that then it goes wherever it needs to go to see if, you know, I don't feel like the bylaws should be here and we're not following them. And everyone, I feel everyone, if we have to follow them, everyone should. So I'll stop talking, but that's a question that I have. And just for the group, like I said, most of you have been on this committee much longer than I have.
Vanessa, you have your hand up.
Okay, thank you. So, Rachel, I wanted to try to address your part of the question, which asked about community comment and LSBs responding to questions or not. So I'll give you my perspective just based on PFW, the term I'm currently serving, and then I was previously on the LSB. So I remember, I'll go back to a prior term where community comment is felt that community comment is supposed to be like a safe space for listeners. And sometimes
this meeting is being recorded
and make some pretty rugged comments, comments that I might put in the category of personal attacks against LSB members. Now, they might feel it's not a personal attack, but some of those comments can be pretty rough. And so the position that was taken at PFW, at least in years past, and currently as well, is that the LSB members did not respond in order for the space, community comment, to be safe for listeners to be able to say whatever they wanted to say without feeling that there would be any, you know, sort of retribution or it would turn into an argument. So that sort of turned into the practice of LSB members both not responding if quote unquote attacked, or just responding at all to anything, anything that a listener said during community comment was basically, whether a question or not, was more commentary because there was no answer. And so at a certain point, I remember I made the suggestion, this was many years ago, and I'm sure people made the suggestion before me and after me, but to, hey, let's answer some questions in some form or fashion. So then the LSB, you know, decided, I think we took a vote and decided that if, because it's kind of ridiculous for people to ask specific questions that would require an answer and they would never get an answer. That was just kind of foolish, despite our best intention of listeners feeling safe in that space to say what they wanted to say. And so I think at that point in years past, the method of listeners receiving a response was either from the chair, just the chair would respond, or if a particular LSB delegate felt that they were positioned to respond to a particular question, then that person would answer, or there would be a commitment to get back to the listeners with an answer to a question. And so I think that was the, and so Minerva's the chair now of the PSW LSB. And so I'll, and I don't know if she wants to add to that, but I know that we make an effort to respond to questions. And the listeners are very emphatic. They have specific questions. They want answers. They expect answers. I don't think that's unreasonable. And we do get back to them with the answers to their questions. So I think it's a good practice for all of the LSBs. I guess, you know, we all evolve as we do. But in general, I believe that's a good practice. So I don't know, it doesn't answer the bylaws part of it, but at least in terms of a practice at a particular LSB in terms of how we have dealt with it.
This is Beth letting everyone know I'm back.
Welcome back, Beth.
We
just had Minerva speak talking about what Rachel had said, and then we had Vanessa, and I think I'm next on the stack. And I'll just fill in. I guess Minerva was talking about whether this committee is focused on bylaws or whether this committee is also focused on perhaps interpretation of bylaws and following bylaws, and whether they're consistently followed or consistently interpreted. And this committee is a governance committee, so it doesn't begin and end just with the bylaws, would be my answer. And the following the bylaws or interpreting the bylaws is something that could be discussed at the committee. But what Rachel was raising about the public comment is a good example of why you keep the bylaws spare and don't put everything in the bylaws. So Rachel said, well, for instance, at WBAI, we give people 2 minutes to speak, and we go through, let everyone have 2 minutes, and then if there's still time, we let people have another 2 minutes, and we actually let them have a third or fourth 2 minutes if that's the way it works out. You know, the 2 minutes is not in the bylaws. Now, if we wanted to say BAI and everyone should be consistent or whatever, you know, it can be put in the bylaws. You know, why 2 minutes? You know, not 3 minutes, but then if someone was speaking and they spoke for over 2 minutes and nobody cut them off, you'd be questioning whether you had a violation of the bylaws. You know, it's appropriate to keep the bylaws spare and give some interpretation, but perhaps the chair will recognize this start of a colloquy. If I ask Rachel that she says She knows that there are LSBs where the LSB has responded to questions. So let me ask Rachel, who was the LSB that responded? How does she know that the LSB responded? That's my first question, and I have some follow-up questions for her about the process that she's describing.
Who's chairing this meeting?
This is Beth.
Thank you. Beth, can I answer this?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say that I think that I don't know what this means about like having some issues off the bylaws. I don't understand what that means at all. But aside from that, I got that information from, I spend a lot of time dealing with BAI and quite a few of the other sister stations. I'm in contact with those people on a daily basis, even more now because of Israel and Palestine. And we do a lot of hopeful program planning around.
Hang on a second. I'm trying to have a colloquy and I'm asking a simple question. Who, you say the LSB responded. Please describe the LSB responding.
Well, I don't remember which of the LSBs it was.
No, don't say which. You don't have to say which. The LSB responded. What do you mean by the LSB responded?
What I mean, and this might not satisfy your curiosity, and I don't know why you're asking the question, but in my communications with various LSBs, I have, shortly after I joined the LSB, I sent emails to various members of some LSBs to ask them, how do you handle your listener comment period? And I was told that some of them do answer, as I already said.
I'm saying.
You're interrupting me.
When the LSB answers.
You're interrupting
please.
Me.
Well, answer.
It's really hard for me to answer the question in full the way I see it being answered when you constantly interrupt me. So can you let me at least finish answering in my way? I have heard from various LSPs that they do answer people's questions during public comment time or make comment back if the person has only made a comment and not asked a question. That's the only information I can give you. I don't remember what date. I don't remember who emailed it to me, but that's what I have learned, which brought me to raising the issue of why isn't that a standard bylaw practice in all of the LSBs in the foundation? That's all. It's not all that big a deal. I was just, wondering, it's the same thing. When it's a red light, you stop your car. If it turns green, you go. I'm curious to know why it's not a blanket policy in the way that public comment time is handled throughout the foundation.
So,
Michael, did that answer?
No, this absolutely doesn't answer. So, I think what Vanessa was saying gave a much better description of a specific way that things would be handled. Now, for instance, if the LSB is going to respond, one possibility is that the LSB votes and has a policy and the official respondent is the chair. Okay, now that puts all the power in the chair and you're not going to hear mixed voices. You're only going to hear from the faction that's in power. Another possibility is that you have 24 LSB members and each one gets to respond. The next question is when there is a response, say someone asks a question and a question could be asked in 30 seconds. The response could be a 15-minute response. Do you subtract out the 15-minute response from the 30 minutes that's allocated for public comment? I don't think Rachel knows the answer to that question because I don't think she came to tell us, describing how this works. but all of those things have to be done. Now, the reason that WBAI is very clear that it's up to the board members to listen and to respond, but to do so after the period of public comment and to do so appropriate after they've heard what's being said. The reason we don't interrupt public comment is because the public is supposed to get 30 minutes. And if you are taking away from that 30 minutes with back and forth or other opinions, you're not giving the public 30 minutes. And so if you want to then time it, you could, but it becomes very difficult. Now, we usually have our public comment at the end of the meeting. So we started at 9:15, which means that we have to adjourn. If we're going to extend for responses and time the responses so that you make sure that you still have the 30 minutes for public comment, we then are postponing the adjournment time. So we would have to do it at some other time in the meeting. But Rachel's saying they do it this way and it works in other places. And I'm saying, how does it work? And I didn't hear an answer from Rachel, and I don't think she came prepared with that information.
Thank you, Rachel and Michael. I think I'm going to take a brief attempt to respond to this. I've sat on a number of other boards, including public boards by appointment and by election, and it has been the standard practice of all the boards I've been on, the advice to the boards from legal counsel has been not to respond to public questions, other than perhaps very brief requests for specific information about when is a follow-up meeting or something that usually is handled by staff, just providing very specific information items. But in general, public comment often goes to policy, issues of policy or practice. And there are a number of reasons that boards are discouraged from answering those questions, responding to those questions in real time. As Michael has listed some, because especially when it has to do with policy issues that may not yet be resolved, you're going to get different answers from possibly every board member there. And if it hasn't been resolved by the board, it would be inappropriate for any one board member to speak on behalf of the entire board. And it could take up as much meeting time as you got for every board member to weigh in. And so public comment is called public comment because it's a time for the public to express themselves to the board and for the board to receive that information and those requests and then respond as appropriate outside of the board meetings in general. That's what I've always been taught on all boards. Also because responses from board members can carry legal implications. And again, board members may not, as individual board members, they may be expressing themselves, but if they do so in a way that can be extrapolated or interpreted as if they're speaking on behalf of the same board, that can be problematic. And so in my experience, the back and forth between the public and the Pacifica boards has been much more extensive than anything I've seen on other boards, because of course we're Pacifica. So there's that aspect of all of that. There's also the point that, as Rachel herself says, the bylaws don't actually address this issue. And there's a reason for that, or a few reasons for that. One is that, as Michael said, it's unwise to load up the bylaws with more than necessary. And things like this are more appropriately addressed as policy, not in the body of the bylaws. And we can go into that if people want to. And it's also a matter of leaving the bylaws flexible enough so that each of the five LSBs, the five stations, which are very, very different entities, they each have their own culture. And I think there was the intent to leave enough leeway in the bylaws so that each LSB had the discretion to craft the meetings to fit their own local station culture. And I'll refer to the training that I had in bylaws assessment back many years ago from a California nonprofit lawyer, in which he points out that bylaws are required by law and therefore are by nature a legal document, the purpose of which is to resolve legal disputes. And there are things that are required by California law in the bylaws. And his advice was that we should include absolutely every last thing that was required by the law and not one word more. That anything else, you can write whatever else you want, but that shouldn't be in the bylaws. It should be in policy, where it remains much more of a living document, where you can work with it and do course correction as it's necessary, becomes apparent over the years. But the bylaws, anything in the bylaws really does carry the weight of the law. It becomes like a law, and you're inviting unnecessary dispute. You're making your own bylaws that much harder to comply with, every detail you add, and inviting further dispute over things that are not required by law. And he had more to say about it, but that's enough of an introduction for now. Are there others who want to address this issue, this item?
I have my hand up, Chair, but I don't know if others are before me.
Okay, this is Minerva. I have my hand up as well. And
is that Minerva?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And were you before James then?
I was before James, but go ahead, James. I can wait. I've already spoken, but I'm going to ask my question again. Go ahead, James.
Well, thank you, Minerva. I appreciate that consideration. I just wanted to say a couple things very briefly. For people who are not familiar in general with public comment periods on other boards or in public settings, it's very dissatisfying. And we find that almost universally our public attendees at our meetings are dissatisfied with the fact that they ask some simple questions or they express opinions and they want answers from people and they can't get them. It's frustrating. One thing that WBI has done to try and ameliorate that is we've just started having a session before the LSB meeting begins with the general manager and the program director, where they can take questions from the public and have a real Q&A where they can answer some questions. We just got that off the ground the first couple of times. I think we've only done it once, actually, and nobody came with any questions prepared. So we'll see how that goes, but hopefully that will take some of the pressure off of what people mistakenly expect out of a public comment period. And I want to say that, like in other things in this network, we don't have uniform procedures. Some of you may know I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee, and we find that the finance committees around the network do things quite differently. Some stations, the treasurer is the same person that's the chair of the finance committee. In other places, they're two separate positions with two separate people filling them. One station doesn't have a finance committee at all. And it's the same way with public comment. At one of our stations, where I've attended their LSB meetings, you find that their public comment is all in one period, and members of one majority faction get to answer questions in public comment, or the chair presumes to answer, or sometimes the timekeeper or other people presume to answer.
in public comment, but they don't allow the minority faction to answer any questions in public comment. So we see some things that might be described as abuses. We see different ways of handling things. We all know at another station, they have public comment interspersed between the business of the meeting, and it's not a set half hour. They just have different periods of time throughout the meeting where people can make public comment. That has some benefits to it in terms of the public being able to comment on things before the business is concluded already. So I want to go back to what Michael said about taking questions back. You know, people who have questions and they can't get an answer during public comment because we're not supposed to answer. And again, just imagine if every board member wants to answer the question, there's 24 board members. If they all take a minute, there's practically your half hour public comment is gone right there. So yeah, people should endeavor to take notes and to try to contact people or make your information available to people so that they can get answers after the meeting. And that would help. I had one other thing to say, but I'll save it for later and let other people speak.
Minerva, I think you're next.
All right. Sorry, I had to unmute. But just going on with what was just said at our station, WPFW, we do allow the public comment, and normally the questions they're answering that might be policy or such, we do have on with us the general manager. So we do give him time to answer, or it might be a question about the PNB, and there's someone from the PNB on that could answer. But normally for the LSB, it is the chair, or since I'm currently the chair, mainly what I will say to our listeners is we will take your question, get an answer, and we bring it back. We don't just contact that one individual. The next LSB meeting will answer whatever it is they've asked, and that seems to work well for us. Now, just stepping away from this for a moment, my question was, and I'm talking about this committee, the governance committee. My question, Beth, was, are we just here to review the bylaws against the California bylaws? Or if there is an item or article that's in the bylaws that we see is not being followed, do we bring it to this committee or this committee to take it to the PNB? Or we just, what happens to it? That's my question. You know, what is the real role of this committee? That's what I'm asking. So that's something separate from what Rachel was speaking about. So, you know, and I don't want it glossed over, or, you know, you heard it, but no one has an answer for me. Okay. So that's a question that I have.
Thank you, Minerva. Well, two things. I would say that the task of reviewing the bylaws for compliance was specifically assigned. There was a subcommittee stood up to do nothing but that. And that's the committee that met last week and that reported today. And that's their discrete task. But the task of this committee is much broader than that. And it includes the other kinds of things that you're asking about there. I am looking to see... here I have in front of me now the Pacifica Bylaws, Article 8, Other Committees of the Board of Directors, Section 3, Standing Committees. Item B, a governance committee which shall meet regularly, review the foundation's bylaws and policies for governance of board activities. Now, I take it that grammar hangs together a little better if you've got the whole section in front of you, but that is the mandate of this committee as spelled out in the bylaws and as I understand it. So yes, if you have questions or concerns about interpretation of the bylaws, the meaning of the bylaws, whether our practices are compliant with our current bylaws, this is indeed the place. Does that answer your question, or is there more that you wanted to ask?
That answers my question partly, but I'm understanding that if the bylaws say that management should work with us in a certain way, and we're providing things and nothing's coming back or nothing's being engaged, that concern, and I mean it's in the bylaws, then we would be able to bring it to this committee. Is that correct? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that would be my understanding. If someone wants to present an item like that, I would suggest that first you find the passage in the bylaws that you consider pertinent and copy it,
right,
and then describe what it is that's being done that you think is not compliant with that, is that it's in variance with that. And if you can put it in writing for the whole committee before we have to talk about it, it helps with the clarity so that we're not just kind of chasing our tail when we get to this point.
Right. And this would be something that would come from, I mean, no one person would bring it. It would be the LSB has looked at this, or a committee has looked at it, and they're bringing it to their LSB, and then they've tried to reach maybe the staff to get it addressed. And if it's not, and there, you know, there's a deadlock or nothing's happening, then this is how I'm envisioning this committee. And like I said, I just need to ask people, if I'm not seeing this correctly, let me know. Because then, you know, you would look at other avenues. But that's what I'm looking at to make sure that I understand this. And I call it the committee having teeth, or being able to give individuals or stations or whomever some directions on where to move with things that just seem to be at a deadlock. So thank you. Read this section 8. Go ahead.
I'll copy that section to an email and send it around to everyone so you all have it. I've got it at the head of my page of notes for this set of meetings so that I know where to go to figure out just what it is we're supposed to be doing here. And I would say that this is one of the possible venues for trying to resolve such differences. I want to be sure that we're clear, though, that this committee in and of itself has no authority to decide anything, to settle any disputes. What could
Correct.
Be done here is to articulate the dispute, to try to help clarify what's what on both sides. And if that's not sufficient to resolve a difference, then if we can all agree, or enough of us, if a majority can agree on a remedy, then that could be moved from the committee up to the PNB, where the PNB could then address it. And that's where the only place where you can get any kind of binding agreement like that. The PNB itself has the authority to make binding decisions. This committee does not. We can begin the process of providing a hearing for issues like that. So those are excellent questions, Minerva.
Thank you.
And who is next? Did I hear Michael?
I asked to be on the stack, and other people have their hands up. So James has his hands up. Vanessa has hand up. Christina's hand just went up. I don't know if it's a legacy hand from Rachel.
Rachel was behind me. She was the next person.
But like Christina hasn't said anything, and Jess hasn't said much, so I'm gonna take a backseat to them.
I'm gonna interrupt just long enough to ask. To complete the roll call, is that Christina Avalos?
Yes. I just want to be acknowledged that I'm in attendance. I was a little late.
Thank you. Yeah. When I heard your name, I thought maybe that was the case.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Okay, I'm marking you present. And of those whose names have been called now,